text to guide us and encourage us for this new year. Nehemiah 4 and 6 says, so we built the wall, or so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together, all but half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The latter part of the text, especially, we will consider it all, the message. But the latter part, especially, that we've chosen is a lot of text that you'll find in the front of the bulletin and also on those new modern text cards that we highlighted in the announcements. The words for the people had a mind to work. We want you to note the verse. As we've done in other years, we encourage you to take the time to ponder it yourself and even to memorize it. The commitment fully to memory. The theme of the message is giving ourselves to the work of God. And that's the theme of this text. And that's what we want to encourage in the congregation here today on this first Lord's Day of another new year. As we look out upon our neighbours this year and all the potential, all the opportunity in the will of God that lies before us. I want you to note the word work in the text, the people that are mind to work. And I want to emphasize, point out that that is the theme of the book of Nehemiah. It is the work of God. In this book there are 13 chapters, and in those 13 chapters there's 21 references to the work in which Nehemiah was engaged. And I want to encourage you to watch for those references as you read through the book yourself. So it's clear that this book of Nehemiah teaches us about the work of God, and it teaches us all about the work of God, especially that Nehemiah did there in the city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah was a man who was concerned primarily about one thing. I pray you all have the same concern. He was concerned primarily about doing the work of God in his day and in his generation. And I ask you just to take the time to ask yourself the question, is that true of you? Is that your chief concern as you live from day to day? There are many lessons that we can learn about the work of God from this book of Nehemiah. I can remind you that the first 7 chapters, you learn especially about the physical work. That was the building of the property, especially the building of the walls. Whereas by contrast, the last 6 chapters, from chapter 8 onwards, you learn about the spiritual work in which Nehemiah was engaged. That was the building of the people. And the fact is, the two go together. And that is still our concern, those two matters. The building of the property, the building of the people. Those are still our concern in the work of God in our day, in our own society, and in our own generation. But as we come to chapter 4, the main lesson there is about opposition to God's work. I want to make clear that chapters 4 to 6 go together. Chapters 4 to 6 reveal the many ways that the enemy sought to oppose Nehemiah and those that they were with him. In fact, if you read carefully through those chapters, you'll find that the enemy used at least 9 different strategies in their opposition. And what that reminds us, brethren and sisters, is God's work will be opposed. God's work will be resisted. We need to be aware of that, and we need to be ready for it. We need to be prepared for it. And I want you to see and to learn that the first attack that was used by the enemy upon Nehemiah was the attack of mockery. You look there at the end of verse 1. It says, and mocked the Jews. There were those there who despised, and the word despised is used in this book, it's used in this chapter, but there were those there in Jerusalem who despised and ridiculed God's people. And more than that, they despised and they ridiculed the work that God's people were doing. And those people that opposed them by mockery, they were persistent, because the same people, the same crowd, did it before. Remember, just after Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem just after he announced his intention to rebuild the walls and to rebuild the city. We're told, but when Sanballat the Hornite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? So they mocked. They made little. They laughed at Nehemiah and the work that he was doing. Maybe you've experienced a little of that yourself in recent days. But how relevant, brethren and sisters, how up-to-date the Bible is. Isn't it true? These days in which we live, even in this province of ours, there are days when God's work, when the work of the gospel is being mocked and being despised. I think that is true more so than ever, brethren and sisters. More so than ever. But what I want you to see, what I want you to learn here in this passage is, and especially in the words of our model text, I want you to see how God's people should deal with that ridicule. How God's people should react whenever your work is despised. We see here the response that we should give. And I think the response is summed up in the words of the title of the message that we've taken this morning. Getting ourselves to the work of God. Even when our efforts are despised and ridiculed, mocked by others, that should never be our response. We should give ourselves and give ourselves more than ever to the work of the gospel. So let's just consider how we should do that in the words of our text and in even the broader context of the chapter. Notice that these people were busy. The text says they had a mind to work. Can I stress to you, brethren and sisters, these people in Jerusalem were a working people. They weren't at ease in Zion, as Amos described the people in his day. They weren't criticizing or slandering. They were people that were working for God. And I want to urge you today to do the same. I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, this year, right through 2020, seek to be busy in the work of God. It is sad reflection that some Christians that can say that they're busy. There's no doubt about that. But they're busy making money, busy making a name for themselves, busy causing trouble, but they're too busy for God, too busy for the prayer meeting, too busy to serve the Lord, too busy to win souls for the Master. I want to set the description of you of this. Let me urge you again, be busy for the Lord, right through 2020. You think of this work that these people were busy with. Think of the dignity of the work. Because it was God's work, men and women. It's good to ponder that. They were in God's work. It wasn't Nehemiah's work. Nehemiah was the workman. Nehemiah was the master builder, the leader, as it were. But it was God's work. Remember the words of Paul to the Corinthians? We took these words as one of our first model texts when we came to Armagh. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. So pray the Lord to write that in your heart and you today. It is his work, brethren and sisters. And the fact is there's no greater work in which we could be involved. Think too of the variety of the work, because there were different tasks. They're highlighted even in the reading this morning. Some were builders, some were burden bearers, some were buglers, and so on. So there's different tasks, many tasks to do. And that's true even here in Armagh. And I want you all to know this morning, there's a task for you to do. Remember the words of the hymn writer, there's a work for Jesus that none but you can do. I think as well the passage teaches us about the immensity of the work. If you look down there, as far as verse 19, it tells us, I said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. So you see the immensity of the work. This building project covered a very large area. It was a great project. It was a vast undertaking at that time. Sometimes you can overwhelm with that. We're not sufficient for these things. But remember, one of the great things of this book of Nehemiah is that he had a great God. And that great God is emphasized in chapter 2. If you look there at the words of verse 14. Why do you think as well of the unity of the work? The text says the people. It doesn't say a person. It says the people. There were many. Many people. Many people of differing backgrounds, differing occupations. There's a lot of detail of the workers given in the previous chapter, chapter 3. But all of those people were united to do a work for God. And what an example, brethren and sisters, they set us in that regard. Let us, in our Man Free Church 2020, let us go forward this year as one man. There are many lessons we can learn here about the work with which these people were busy. But the main lesson I want you to see today, and especially from our modern text, is this: their perseverance in that work. The text opens with the word, "So we built the wall." And the idea, brethren and sisters, the meaning of those words is this: they kept at work. They didn't run away. They didn't give up. Despite the opposition, despite the mock, despite the ridicule by the enemy, they didn't quit. The text doesn't say, "So we quit the work." It says, "So we built the wall." You know, that's sadly true of many Christians, maybe true of you, when opposition came along. So we quit. We didn't carry on. What these workers did was this: they prayed about the situation, they prayed about their enemies. You see the prayer that they offered in verses 4 and 5 of the chapter. So they prayed earnestly. They committed their enemies to God. They committed the whole project to God, and then they just kept working. And brethren and sisters, that's what the Lord wants you to do as well. Because remember this: the devil wants to divert you. The devil wants to get you into dispute. That's just what he wanted to do here. Get Nehemiah drawn into dispute with these enemies. His great purpose was to stop the work from carrying on. So the lesson is: be busy. Keep busy, brethren and sisters. Keep busy for the Lord during 2020. But not only were they busy, I want you to see the text and the passage as a whole reveals that they were blessed. That the work that these people were engaged in, of rebuilding the walls, especially at Jerusalem, was a project that was blessed of God. Look at the middle part of our modern text. It says, "And all the wall was joined together onto the half thereof." And if you go a little further through the book, in the chapter 6, you'll learn that the wall was finished, the work was completed, in just 52 days. Think of that. This fast, I've emphasized the immensity of the work. The building the wall all around Jerusalem covered a great area. But this vast building project was completed in less than 2 months. So here's a workman and women that knew the blessing of God. And knew the blessing of God in a very definite manner. And I say to you this morning, realize afresh as we look out upon another new year, this is what we need in our labors. And this is what we need more than anything else. We need God's blessing to mark, to rest upon all that we do for Him. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to take that upon your heart. And I want to encourage you to pray for that blessing through this year. I want to encourage you to come to the prayer meetings of the church and pray for the blessing of God upon this witness, upon this testimony. Remember, that's what Nehemiah did, and others as well. In chapter 1, he was praying, "Prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day." And he also, there at the end of chapter 1, talks about thy servants. There were others that were praying with him. He wasn't praying alone. There was that united prayer that was taking place. So I want to encourage you, come to the prayer meetings. Pray for the blessing of God upon our neighbors here. And as you think of this blessing, can I point out that there's a great warning for us here, brethren and sisters? And the warning is, there's no time that you need to be more on your guard than the time when the Lord is blessing. That's the time when the devil is sure to come with attack. That's what happened here. The work was going on,
They were prospering. There was progress that was being made. But at that time of progress, that time of blessing, that's when the devil stirred up the enemies, the opposition, to the work. And you have many examples of that in the scriptures. Think of Joseph there in Potiphar's house. The Lord blessed him. The Bible records that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. So God was blessing Joseph, blessing his life. God was blessing Potiphar's house because of Joseph. But what does the very next verse of that chapter tell us? It says, it came to pass after these things, after the time of blessing, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Fly with me." So what a warning then of at a time when God was blessing that young man, that was the time that the devil attacked. So it's a warning to us all, we need to be on our guard. Like the New Testament example, the book of Acts, thousands were being saved. The church was being blessed, 3,000 converted, then a further 5,000. It was a time of revival. But listen to what Luke tells us there in Acts chapter 6. He says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, although we would see that again. But he says there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So in a time of blessing, a time of increase in the work, what the devil sought to do was to divide, cause division among God's people, cause division in the work of God. So what do we see as we bring up this blessing, and as we see the work being blessed and the opposition that was stirred up, I want you to see there's a great warning for us here, brethren and sisters. Be on your guard. But there's also a great encouragement here as we think of the blessing. And the encouragement is this, that God can still bless. God can still prosper his work, even when it is being opposed in such a strong manner. It's very interesting that Daniel speaks about this work for God that Nehemiah did in his prophecy, chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. This is what it says. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. That's what Daniel talked about many years later. Many years it was. But I want you, brethren and sisters, to understand, that's what you find in Nehemiah chapter 2. That's when the 70 weeks that Daniel talks about in chapter 9, that's when they start, that's when they commence the commandment going forth to restore and to build Jerusalem. But the end of that same verse in Daniel 9 says this, the street shall be built again and the wall, there the wall of Jerusalem, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And that's what's before us here, Nehemiah 4, 5 and 6. It gives us the detail of the troublous times in which Nehemiah built the wall of Jerusalem. He faced all sorts of trouble, all sorts of opposition. I highlighted that to you already. But the vital lesson, brethren and sisters, is this. The wall was built. His labors were blessed, even amidst the times of trouble. So I say to you this morning, be encouraged. God can still bless. God can still prosper his work, his testimony, even when it is being opposed, as it is in the days in which we live. So don't be discouraged today. Don't be discouraged into thinking it's all a waste of time. Don't let thoughts enter your mind that nothing will ever happen in such days as which we live. Because I want you to know today that nothing could be further from the truth. These people were blessed with God. And they were blessed for this reason. Because they depended upon God himself. They weren't depending upon themselves. They weren't depending upon Nehemiah. They weren't depending upon their own efforts and their own ability. You look there at verse 14 of the chapter. Right in the middle of the verse. It says, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. So where were their eyes? Their eyes were on the Lord. And I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, I want to encourage you. As we set out in the new year, I want to urge you to do the same. As you live and labor for the Lord in 2020, look to the Lord. Depend upon Him for His help and blessing in all that you do for the furtherance of His kingdom. Remember what the Savior said. It's an all-important statement. Without me, you can do nothing. There's many things we can do without. Many things we think are essential that aren't really that important at all. But we can't do without Him. We need the Lord if our efforts are going to be blessed. Think of what Paul said. He declared in the book of Romans, if God be for us, it's not a great statement. All the world might be against us. The tide in society might be rising against the testimony of the gospel in the days we live. But if God be for us, then who can be against us? So if you depend upon God, brethren and sisters, then the work in which you're engaged, in which we're collectively engaged, that work will go forward, and that work will be blessed and owned of God. So they were busy, they were blessed. The other thing is, they were burdened, and that brings us to the part of the text that we have especially chosen for model this year. The people had a mind to work. To point out, make it clear, that word mind, it's often translated heart in the Old Testament scriptures. In chapter 2, the king said of Nehemiah, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. It's exactly the same word in the original. Daniel, that we mentioned already, Daniel, remember as a young man, as a teenager, it says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's portion. Well, that's, again, it's the same word that here is translated mind. So the word is often translated heart. And what that teaches us is this, that these people in Jerusalem, they had a heart for the work of God. They had a heart for work in general. They weren't a people that was lazy and slothful, they were workers. And remember, brethren and sisters, that's what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for workers, looking for laborers. But these people especially had a heart for the work of God, the work of the gospel. If we were to ask this morning, why did their work prosper? Why did God help them and bless them in their labors? Well, one of the main reasons was this. They had a heart for the work that they were doing. And their heart was in the work. Their heart was completely. They were wholeheartedly engaged in the work that God had brought them to. They weren't a people that was careless. They weren't a people that was indifferent about their labors. They weren't like the Laodiceans. They weren't lukewarm about the work that they were doing. They were a people in Jerusalem that was wholehearted for God and wholehearted for God's work. We sometimes say of people, his or her heart is in it. We see them doing something earnestly, fervently. Their heart is in it. Is that true of you, brethren and sisters? The work of God here in Armagh, raising a testimony for Christ in this city. Is your heart in the work? Your heart in God's work? You think of the church at Ephesus. Remember, the Lord had to rebuke the church, say, I've somewhat against it, because you've left your first love. It was a great church. It had made a great witness. It was still at the heart of city life there in Ephesus. But the problem with the church at Ephesus was this. Their heart was no longer in the work. It was just routine. It was just going through the ritual. It's very interesting to consider, to study what this verse doesn't say, brethren and sisters. We're not told the people had talents to work. We're not told that they had health or energy to work. We're not told that they had a body or time to work. And all of those things have a place. All of those things are necessary, they're required. But to the point out, you can still do a work of God without some of those things. Sometimes it's people that don't have full health and strength that are busier, more zealous, more available than those that do. But the message is this, brethren and sisters, you can have all of those things that I've mentioned and others too, and not be effective. Because first and foremost, what you need is a heart for God. and a heart for his work. Because that's what will keep you going. Whenever the difficult times, the times of trouble come, that's what kept these people going. That's really what Nehemiah is telling us here in the words that he's recorded in this text. Can I remind you that the Bible has much to say about the heart? I've looked at quite a few of those texts since the time of my illness. I'd like to do actually a little series of messages on many of those verses, many of those passages where the heart is referred to. For example, the Bible teaches and speaks of the heart being deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. The Bible speaks about the broken and the contrite heart that God will not despise. The Bible says of King Saul, the Lord gave him another heart. The Bible says of Lydia, that the Lord opened her heart, and so on. There's so many very prominent references to the heart in the Scriptures. But think especially of this verse, brothers and sisters, found in the book of Proverbs. My son, give me thy heart. And isn't that relevant? In the light of our modern text, the Lord is asking, the Lord is looking. On the first Sabbath of 2020, the Lord's looking and asking for a surrendered heart. A heart surrendered to him. A heart fully dedicated. A heart that's completely sold out to God and to the work of God, to the work of the gospel. A heart that he sits upon the throne of. A heart that he is completely and utterly in control of. We sang the words of the offering. Did you note them as you sang? King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. A king sits on the throne. Is he king in your life? Does he have your heart? Is he upon the throne of your heart? Do you have such a heart of which Solomon spoke there in that great invitation in the book of Proverbs? You see, brethren and sisters, the Lord's people of Jerusalem, they had a mind, they had a heart for God, a heart to serve. It shows their passion. You think of that? They had a heart to work. That shows their passion. It shows their fervency. It shows the great burden that they had for the work. And as we consider that and look today into the murder of the word, we have to ask, do you have it? Do you have that heart that these people have? Do you still have it? In the light of what we said about the church at Ephesus, possible to lose it. You've left your first love. Maybe once you did have such a heart for God, but it is no longer the case. I want to say, let this be the description of our Mount Church and every Christian here. Let our modern text, let this be a description of us. Right through 2020, the people have a mind to work. I'll say this to you in closing. Sometimes we say we need a change of heart. A change of heart. And maybe as 2020 tells us, that's exactly what you need spiritually. You need a change of heart. You need a change of heart towards others in this church, your attitude toward them. You need a change of heart maybe toward the leaders of this church, the attitude that you have toward them. You need a change of heart today towards the meetings of the church, being present, your attendance, your support of the meetings. Maybe you need a change of heart towards your work in this church. You're no longer at the heart of the work. You no longer have the work at heart as once you did. A change of heart, brothers and sisters. Whenever David was being restored from his sin, he prayed a great prayer. A great prayer of confession, a great prayer of contrition. You have it in Psalm 51. One of the requests, one of the petitions that David offered in that great prayer of confession was this: renew a right spirit within me, O Lord. Right spirit. Right attitude. Right outlook. And maybe there's someone here, and that's the prayer that you need to pray. Lord, give me again the right attitude. Give me the right heart. Give me
the right spirit for the work of this church and for the great work of the gospel, the great work of spreading the gospel in this community. So here, brethren and sisters, is our model text for 2020. May the Lord write it in every heart this morning. May he speak to you through it. And may he speak to you through it not just today, but right through this year that lies ahead of us. For the people, remember, we're all included in that. The people have a mind. And remember, the literally, the tongue there, but the heart. The people that have a heart. That's the word. So may God bless his word. And every heart in the room is one. Thank you, faithfully.